I'll just point to me and I'll just.
Good morning, the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners meeting is now in session. It's on Monday, September 22nd, at 9 a.m. We'll stand for pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will Secretary call the roll?
Commissioner Stith?
Here.
Commissioner Hinkley?
Here.
Commissioner Ralph?
Here.
Commissioner Rutherford here, Commissioner Raymond?
Here.
All present.
We have a quorum. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The agenda's approved. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the meeting of July 28th, regular meeting, and the minutes for August 25th, regular meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion that we approve the, receive and approve the regular meeting from July 28th, 2025, and the minutes from August 25th, 2025, regular meeting.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved for 7:28 and 8:25. We have no ceremonial. We have any announcements? Rich?
I think Dave wants to read something over real quick.
David?
Yeah, so Terry just reached out to me. This came in from an email from Gia Borges. I'm not sure her address, but it just came in like 12 minutes ago. So Terry printed off one copy. She wants to know if we want other copies, but I'll read the email. It says, please see attachment. Also requesting that the board accept this document be entered as written public comment for today's meeting due to the confidential nature of the document. So I'm confused what she's saying. She wants it public, but she's saying something in here is confidential in nature. So
if there's anything in there that relies or talks about personnel
information,
employees, yeah, that's.
We haven't had a chance to review it yet.
It's 12
pages long. So my question is, do we want to just hold this for the public comments section and then talk about, and then see if we want to just post it after the meeting once we've had a chance to make sure there's no public information in there?
Yeah, we have to look at it, see if there's anybody's personnel information in there. We can't let that out.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry.
This is from Gia, and that's the whole country, and this is for each of the board.
So we're coming up to public comments, so maybe I'll ask you to just explain.
Oh, I'm the wrong one for this particular issue.
Okay. But this is what we got in the email?
Yes, it's exactly the same.
Is there one for Rich?
No, but we'll need copies for her too.
Yeah.
We'll hear public comments now, 3 minutes. Butch Phillips.
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I dropped off some forms with you. Basically, these forms, in the heist of lawsuit on Friday, Mr. Roquefort made mention about how long this lawsuit has been taken. We received HICID's interrogatory responses last Monday. We asked for them 6 months ago. That's why it's been dragging on that long. We have summons requests when we subpoenaed you for the court. We also included summons requests for products on May 28th. You know how many of those documents we've received? Zero. So I'm going to go over, the first one is five letters to make this very fast. Talks about how much HICID has gotten from all the different benefits, removed benefits. It shows it, request for production two is provide the beginning assessor ledger. The response from the board was it's publicly available online. No, it's not. There is not an individual bi-parcel accounting online of how much everybody's paid. Number three, provide the annual and current assessor ledger for all less that shows the assessor entry. When we asked, has the assessor added an entry for the levy payments for the last 15 years? You said no. Go to page three, starting with interrogative 23. Has HICID ever received state turnback funds to provide ongoing maintenance to the roads? HICID answered no. The county, which provides those state turnback funds to HICID, has given over $500,000.
What's your point in all this?
I will get there.
We have
sure. I get 3 minutes to read this into the record. 24, are the roads within HICID considered public or private? HICID's answer is public, unequivocally. That means HICID cannot spend any money from this moment forward based on your attorney's definition of those roads. Go to page five, interrogatory. Number 38, was a new assessment of benefits completed due to at least in part by the projected cost of creating a new AOB? HICID's response was no discussion of a new assessment was had at the meeting regarding the levy. Commissioner Surratt publicly stated at that meeting, of which I have a copy of the video and transcribed, it was going to cost $250,000, so they didn't think it was necessary. 53 and 54 ask about the assessor. Interrogatory 55 says, when has HICID sent a letter or document to the county clerk or county collector that included a certified copy of the resolution to become an eligible district? That date is unknown. When I asked specifically in these, interrogatory 31, I'm back on page 3, is every lot in HICID being assessed equally for the cost of water and sewer treatment plant? The response is unequivocally no. How is each lot in HICID assessed for the cost of water and the sewer treatment plant? Improved lots pay more, not equal. Again, please list how much individual lot has paid toward the water and sewer treatment plant each year from the date of the last assessment. Response from HICID at this time, that amount is unknown. So you don't know if we've paid that off. You don't know how much we have left owing. You don't know what the beginning assessment was. You have not updated the assessment list once. That is the purpose of the meeting today. That is the purpose of the lawsuit that we've been going on with. So I have extra copies if anybody in the audience would like them. And there is supposed to be a meeting going on in attorney's offices. Reference a committee meeting on Friday that we've transcribed. There will be nobody from this district or those attorney's offices. You cannot discuss memorandum of agreements or agreements in principle or memorandum of understandings in a meeting with less than a quorum of commissioners, and it's there. They discussed it. So I'll be happy to leave this. Of course, I've got many copies. So do I have any questions? I'll be glad to answer them. I'm done for the day, gentlemen. Ladies? That's okay.
No, his glasses broke then.
Yeah, I know. I know it's okay. I've got one that has a scratch down the middle of it from a rose bush the other day. So, any questions? If not, thank you very much for your time. I'll leave these with your permission, Chairman. Over here, the extra copies of what I went through. If anybody in the audience would like to have
them. That's fine. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Prater.
Yes, sir.
Carl?
No.
Ken Mills, no. Dave Gilbert.
Negative.
No.
Very well. Any other public comments? Report?
Yeah, my left arm.
Dave, do you have any report you need to update us on with the roof?
Yeah, well, I'll hold the...
Mike.
I'll hold the update for the actual, we talked about on Friday, it was referenced a few minutes ago. I'll do that at Commissioner Comex, but if we're ready to talk about the regulation, then I'm ready to go on that.
We are ready to talk about reading the regulation on the road litigation. It'll be the second reading of Regulation 2025-04. Do I have a motion to discuss the second reading?
I'll make a motion to discuss the second reading.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Dave, go ahead and read the, do the...
So up on the, screen, we have, as we know, on the 25th of August, at our last meeting, we did the first reading. Since that time, there have been some minor changes, and I lost my glasses, so can you kind of blow that up for me a little bit?
I don't know how.
It's bottom right corner.
I got two pairs.
Oh. Yeah, I got two pairs right here. So the only, I'm just going to go over their minor changes. You can see, right there it went from in the middle of the page, 9.3 to 9.5 miles, and that's the reason based on a couple changes down below. So scroll down. Bullet H, the only thing I did there was make it clear we don't have a lower Table Rock Drive. We have Table Rock Drive, but in our road department, they have it. Categorized as upper section, the higher elevation, starts at Elm, moving up to Holiday Island and State Line intersection, right. And then the lower section, which is from Elm,
it'll pop up in a second.
From Elm to State Line. So in this one, we're dedicating the lower section, which is planned for chip and seal by the city, paying for it next year.
Right.
So that's one little bit. So I just put lower section in parentheses, so that's what that is. In reviewing the document, I happened to look back at the road department's master list of assets, and I noticed that they had Oak Lane divided into two different line items for some reason. So one of them, the line item, had Oak Lane at 500 some odd linear feet, and I didn't look that it had quotation marks underneath the line item. So there's actually two parts that they had it broken down to. So all I did is add the whole 1,000, whatever that 1,000 and 112 linear feet. And I matched that up with Google Earth, and that's what the actual length is supposed to be.
Right, I think originally they only planned to do half.
And that's what it, maybe that's what it did. Either way, but what we're not dedicating half the road, we're dedicating the entire road.
Right.
So that's that line. Then on L, as you recall, in our last meeting, there was some confusion on exactly where the La Mariachi Mexican Restaurant road ended.
Right.
On what was our road versus what goes into the private road behind the restaurant. So we got that ironed out. I got that ironed out with the city and the road department. And it, per the lot, or per the plat, it's the southeast corner of Unit 215, Block 1 and Lot 2, which is the Mariachi restaurant.
Right.
So it's the southeast corner, so it's going from, so they changed the length from 300 and whatever it was, 50 to 870 total linear feet. So that's what that was more clarifying exactly what we're dedicating.
Okay.
Those are the changes. There was a, prior to the meeting, somebody brought up, one of the public brought up a comment that, and I don't know the answer. So they're saying since we made changes, that I would have to start over with this being the first reading again. That's not the way I've been instructed in how I've seen the city run it. You can make changes.
We've done it in the past. If you declare it on the first reading, we make an alteration. to the first reading, and we include that in the second reading.
Until it's final.
Right.
Right, so, but because we made changes, by my interpretation, it doesn't start over the process, so it just becomes, it becomes the clean version will be signed, which we have a clean version for you and I to sign today.
Right.
But we have, just to play it safe, we did reach out to Matt.
I'm not responding back.
Because it was raised, I'm like, all right, let's make sure we're doing it right.
I think we could.
We're going to go ahead with it is right and sign it, that's what I would, or vote on.
Yep, go ahead and vote on it. Then if we have to, we can do an emergency meeting. If Matt says otherwise, we can do an emergency meeting on the second for another vote.
Okay.
So let's just bring that to the board.
Is there another reading you need to do to 2025-04? You made your corrections and.
I would just recommend, I'll make the recommendation that we now vote on it by title.
Very well. Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion to vote on regulation 2025-004.
I moved and seconded to vote on regulation 2025-04. Will the secretary poll the commissioners?
Okay. Commissioner Stitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Yes.
Commissioner Rutherford? Yes. Commissioner Raven?
Yes.
It's unanimous.
The unanimous decision. Regulation 2025-004 has been approved. New business, moving on to the August 2025 financials. We have a motion to discuss the August 2025 financials. Everyone should have gotten them, I believe, last night or this morning.
Last night. Was it last? I think it was last night. I got mine last night.
I did look at it this morning. Everybody else got it.
Yeah. I looked at it this morning.
Yeah.
I make a motion that we receive and approve the August 2025 financials.
Second.
We moved and seconded that we approve the August 2025 financials. All those in favor?
Aye.
Can we have a discussion real quick?
Sure.
So. And I have a question in regards to the road department. One of the line items in the budget for the road department is the capital improvements for facilities for $100K that has no money been obligated this year on it. So I reached out to Rich this morning to say, hey, were we going to have the capital improvement on the road maintenance building or something that's planned? And you reached out to Jennifer and Mike for clarification this morning, and what'd you find out?
That was passed by the board for chip and seal project in, I believe, 2022. So that money's been, since we have not done a chip and seal project, that money is still there.
So that ties into, I know that we, you're going to hear me talking about it in the road department section later on. But I just want to make sure, because that's $100,000 sitting there for capital improvements that's budgeted for facilities, but I would argue that we probably could use that for some of the road maintenance equipment that we do know we need. And we all are aware of the tractor with the burst boom that's been a major issue, that we only have $163 left in the capital improvements for vehicles, but this may tie up some money where maybe we can allocate that and actually get some other equipment that we do need. So I'll table that right now, but I just want to bring that up.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to discuss as far as the financials?
None for me.
It's been moved and seconded. We'll now vote on approving the financials. All those in favor of approving, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The August 2025 financials are approved. I will discuss, I have a motion to discuss the resolution 2025-R1 amenity fees and rental fees.
So we brought this.
I'll make a motion that we discuss resolution 2025-R1 amenity fees and rental fees.
It's been moved and seconded. It's open for discussion as far as the resolution. And I believe, talking to Rich, we've discussed this and talked about it in July. There's been a few changes, but nothing drastic. Rich, you want to discuss what we actually changed?
So this, the main changes was from the original one back in December. It was placed under Section 4, Additional Terms, was the under the district mayor's discretion, which in July, I pulled that out and put in set organizational fees. And then we decided to go ahead, and then we never did get that passed or pushed through in July. So then we went back and I took the organization fees out and put back Section 4, which additional terms. And then we came up with a sheet that will explain the organizational fees from here on out. But they can be changed at any time by the district manager.
Correct. But as far as the fees that we have listed here, they're all pretty consistent.
All the rest of the fees were the ones that we set back in December.
Okay.
And all we did was add half-day fees for those that only need half-day, and that was better than somebody that doesn't need to pay a full day for a room, only needs 4 hours, they can pay a half-day.
Correct.
That was added on a couple of days.
And also, this is to give you more discretion for some gray areas. Is that another reason?
Yeah.
Just in there?
Yeah, I mean, we still got him. The sheet we came up with, it's in black and white, but it's still under, if we have to, we can make changes to it or wherever we feel like.
Do we have a copy of that sheet?
This sheet?
Well, and I agree with that, because in reading the regulations very recently, there is some ambiguity as far as what groups pay what rates. And I think that has to be something that the district manager needs to determine on a case-by-case basis when they come in.
And the biggest thing is, what do we consider an organization? And that was where we ran into problems with the organizational rates and determining, you know, is this one an organization or is this one worldwide organization?
Well, and in the regulation, one category of the people that rent it are 70% have to be homeowners or property owners.
Property owners.
And that's one clarification that's in the regulation. And I think that's something that you know when somebody books an event, you can pretty much size up. Is there mostly property owners or are these totally outsiders from somewhere else?
Exactly.
Whereas in the case of a wedding reception that they just rented, chances are those people aren't from here. So I think that's something that's in the regulation that needs the district managers has to have the ability to, at his discretion, make those calls.
That's why I like that.
And I want to add holiday island organizations. There was some confusion on my part on that too, but Rich helped me understand that those organizations that turn their proceeds back to High City is considered an organization, like the fire department auxiliary. If they're turning all their proceeds back to High City or the fire department, they shouldn't have to pay $500 it's just money coming back to us anyway.
That's called out in the regulation now. Mm-hmm. If that money, they raise money for a charity and it all goes back to ICE, that $500 can be credited to their account.
But, yeah, and that's what I think the under Rich's discretion. Mm-hmm.
I did read back through the regulation that there is no specifics about churches.
Right.
I think we had thought there was something, but there is nothing that addresses.
Yeah, there's nothing that
addresses in our regulation.
But in my case, you know, it was brought to my attention about my church about renting the ballroom at $500. Well, they only need it for 4 hours, so if they can pay $200, they're okay, that's great. You know, it's
okay.
So the half day satisfies that.
Yeah, and I think
being able to rent it for
prior to this, we only had the $500 rate. Any other discussion on this amenity fee changes?
Are we actually going to try and vote on this then?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question is the title correct for 2025-R1? Because I think that was the original one. Would we need a new title number?
Nope, because this one never got passed through.
So it never got approved?
No. Did it?
No, maybe it didn't.
June 23rd, 2025.
June, okay, so yeah, we'll have to change this to R2.
Okay, so it's just...
So with the change of R2,
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2025-R2, a resolution setting the amenity fee and rental fees of the district.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to approve resolution 2025-R2, which updates the amenity fees. I would ask the secretary to poll the members for a vote.
Commissioner Stith?
Yes.
Commissioner Pinkley?
Yes.
Commissioner Ralph?
Yes.
Commissioner Rupert? Yes. Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I looked back, I didn't see it.
It's unanimous. Resolution 2025-R2 has been approved. Any public comments? Commissioner comments?
I think we're still trying to understand the GIA.
Yeah,
are we just going to...
I haven't even looked at it.
Can we take a break, a pause to read over this to see if this is something we can read into comment for her request today as a public comment?
Sure, we can take a 10-minute recess.
Thank you.
We'll reconvene at 9:40.
Okay. Thank you.
We're in recess. The Holiday Islands Urban Improvement District is back in session. Concerning this email we got this morning, David, I'll let you address it.
So, yeah, we got this email 12 minutes prior to the meeting. It's asking that we enter the top page of the statement, which was also passed out to each of us during the meeting, to have that entered in the record, in the written record. So the plan is, after talking with the staff, that after this meeting, we'll post that along with our other meeting documents to the website, so it's officially up, officially posted, if anybody wanted to refer to it.
I think that was the instruction that we would post the written document,
the document.
In the record. Okay. And that's been done. Other commissioner comments?
Yeah, like I stated earlier, and with Mr. Phillips, I guess, referred to the road joint task force met again to continue progressing the road transition. We met this past Friday. We had three topics to discuss. The first one was the next steps for drafting a long-term plan for the road transition, meaning so far to date, including the regulation we just passed today, we've had two regulations, one in 2022, second one today, that have transitioned certain sections of roads to the city. What the road task force is developing, or has developed, is a draft agreement in principle, but our attorneys are recommending we call it a memorandum of agreement or understanding that they're now looking at, both the city legal counsel as well as our counsel, to kind of look at the overarching recommendations that we wanted to come out of the task force to both the council and the commissioners here on how to move forward with the remaining roads. So at a high level, I'll just say at a high level, what the road task force is suggesting is that between now and the end of the year, that we use the master road list from the road department to identify the remaining roads that ICID owns, develop a regulation similar to what we just saw there showing every road and the length, send that document out to our attorneys to look at and make sure we're dotting our I's across our T's. And if that's done, we would then try to bring it to our respective councils and boards to then vote to see if it would come to us first, because we would have to decide if we want to dedicate the remaining roads.
Right.
And it'll take two readings. So if we want to get this done by the end of the year, with the count, with the existing board that we currently have, then we would probably need to start planning at the latest of November, possibly December. First reading in November, second in December. But a best case scenario would be a first reading in October. And I've already been working on this new regulation. I got it 90% complete, about ready to send it out to the councils. So I think I can actually meet that, have it for October 15th. We decided we want to move forward with that.
Well, I think it's a good idea because, as I understand it right now, Rich and I and the mayor have all pretty much agreed that we're going to have the city and Heisen meeting on October 25th.
5th or 7th?
I'm sorry?
Was it the 5th?
The 25th.
Yeah, sorry. Yes, 25th.
Okay. I don't think the rest of the board is aware of that, but we just decided we need to pick a date far enough out that everybody could adjust our schedule. So the new time is about October 16th?
We would want to talk about it in our workshop in October and then vote whatever that would be.
Yeah.
So, and that way we would go into that meeting with a first reading at a joint session and see if there's any landmines that would come up.
We would have our work session on the 20th to discuss everything we need to discuss. And then we would have the joint meeting on the 25th. And if there's anything else we need to vote on, we could do so on the 27th.
What day will our regular meeting be then?
The 27th.
27th.
The day after the joint. Yeah,
2 days. 2 days. Is that joint meeting would be?
Joint meeting would be on Saturday.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Monday.
Okay, yeah, but I say, is it the 26th? Is that what you said?
25th.
The 25th is on joint meeting.
Yep.
All right, I wrote down the 26th. Because I was going to say that, wouldn't it, the
26th? 26th is a Sunday.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, the ballroom is rented on the 25th, so you'll have to have that somewhere else.
Is it all day, rent all day?
Yes, it's rented the 24th, the 25th.
Might have to do the barn with them.
We could do the barn.
The week before.
I don't know if we could do it. Well, this would be full in here. We could possibly do it. It'd be full.
What about the 18th?
The 18th, it is open.
That might be better because then it's before even the work session, so we still have time to discuss it.
Well, we'd have to make sure that the city,
right,
that they're okay with that date. I just said it.
I'm glad you brought that.
I just sent Dan an email the other day approving the 25th. So we're going to tentatively back it up to the 18th.
We'll check with Dan and see if they can do the 18th. If not, then we could possibly do the barn. I don't.
Yeah, we can either do it if the city's not available on the 18th.
And I could check the availability of the barn.
The 25th.
And then just to finish up the overview, you know, what the task force is suggesting in our meetings is that, again, we would dedicate the remaining roads by the end of the year, start working on an updated draft interlocal agreement that would cover the maintenance where our road staff and our road equipment would continue for what we're calling a transition year of 2026. We own staff, they have the roads, and they pay us to maintain the roads. So the city would be paying us, our road department, for using our equipment and staff in 2026 with the goal of hopefully potentially transitioning the entire road department to the city in 2027. That's the umbrella of what framework we're working with. Again, trying to work hand in hand with our legal counsel on what are the things to do. So the main documents that we would want to get done by the end of the year is, of course, dedicating the remaining roads as well as an interlocal agreement. an updated version that's going to need some tweaking because they would own all of those. Any questions on that? I mean, that's it. We told them, their last bullet that we addressed was the city wanted to know what capital improvements we have in the works before they take the entire thing over that we need to get done, that we have on the books. And I mentioned the tractor with the VersaBoom that we were, again, that's the reason I brought up the cost or what we had allocated, left to allocate this year. And between those two line items, that's $100,000 remaining in the budget this year for the facilities we just talked about that could be brought to bear, as well as $163,000 remaining in the actual capital improvements for vehicles for the road department. So a VersaBoom is probably around, I know we've been back and forth this year, so to get a VersaBoom that we probably need, we're still going to be maybe budgeting $190,000, but anyway, I'm just saying, that's where we might start. 160 to 90. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, but
we have a pretty solid number at 160.
Okay, so let's go with 160. But Mike brought up some other equipment needs during that meeting, and he says we're looking to have for 2026 what they're budgeting for in the current 2026 budget was two tractors and a bush hog. The total of all of those come to 122. Now again, I'm just bringing this up so we can think about it. But maybe we dip in and pay for a portion of bush hog for $8,000 when he's estimating, and one of the tractors, and then we've done all our capital improvements from the budget we have. We don't budget any capital improvements for next year for the road department because we're in a transition year, but we're helping set the city up with equipment that they're going to need before they take over everything. So that's what I'm trying to do is make it easier for the city to help absorb their costs in the transition.
Did we buy a new brush hog last year?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Now we need another one?
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not trying to...
They run two tractors, two brush hogs. And the one brush hog, the gear box went completely out, so we had to replace it. And then the other one was purchased the same time as the last of the gear box went out, so it's getting pretty wore out, too.
In talking about that, and we're still... Commissioner comments. Mm-hmm. Have we heard anything from the insurance company on the VersaBoom that was damaged by a car accident?
We sent them all the pictures off to the insurance company, and then we're supposed to be getting an estimate done and then sent to them too. The biggest problem is trying to get an estimate where you can't get it anywhere without hauling it and get the estimate done for it.
Okay.
That's all I have for
very well. Anything from the DNR as far as the hogs on the T-box on 2? I saw it on the day of the tournament. I can't believe the damage they've done.
Yep, and Friday night, I got a picture of two hogs out there, and Tyler ran them off. I called him twice and left messages last week, and then I just called him this morning, and couldn't even
what
leave a message.
What time of the day are they coming out there?
I got the message at, I think it's 6 o'clock.
It was dusk when he was out.
Yeah, it was. You could
set up a tree stand.
Yeah.
So they did more damage Friday night?
Well, not as much because he ran them off. So, yeah.
I know they've been tearing it up more because I was out there yesterday. You could see where they tore it up more.
Yeah, I got the text message at 10 till 8. And he had pictures of two hogs off the backside, too.
Okay. Short of waiting on the DNR, I don't know much else we can do other than Tyler's been spraying for grubs, hopefully killing off the food source that they're wanting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about anything else we can do at the moment.
I'm sure this 8 inches of rain is not going to help our situation.
So. Somebody suggested the fire department could run them off.
How do you run a hog off?
I don't know. That was
a possibility.
Just park out there, blare the horn every time they pop up.
The only way is a bullet or a trap, one of the two.
Well, I'm happy to announce that we do have our liquor license now at the clubhouse. And Misty's going to be getting some new classes and hardware, whatever she needs to get the bar running, and inventory of liquor. I don't know what they have already and what's on order, but I looked the other day, you had pretty good stock already.
I was able to pick up 24 bottles is what they allowed me to do because it was a will call. I drove Thursday morning to pick up the license, got the license to the distributor, and was able to pick up 24 bottles and bring back. So, and then sold the can over the weekend.
Can you go to, you can go over to, right over here at, not Rogers, but Springdale, and pick it up there.
Well, she's got delivery.
Huh? Oh, got delivery?
Yeah, we got it.
Well, that's good.
She, yeah, she'll explain to you.
I thought they get delivered.
She has to go through a distribution, so.
Yeah, we do have to go through a distributor, so Glazier's is the one that we have the account set up with because that's who I get my wine through. They also provide liquor, so I was able to, when I went Thursday to pick up the license, I just had to provide the license to the distributor, and then I was able to go ahead and pick up some. We are scheduled for delivery on Tuesday. It's an off-day delivery, so then we'll get everything set up, see what else we need, what we go through, and then we will receive delivery like what we do on our beer every other week. So, with this distributor, there are certain brands that are not available through them, so I have to get an account set up with the other distributor in order to have some of the other brands that people ask for.
Generally speaking, you have to have both of those anyhow, because you're not going to get it done with one.
Correct.
And my dad had a place, and I had an office in Omaha, and I would pick up stuff, but there were three places in Omaha that you had to go to, because not everyone had it.
Right. And like I said, we are required to, since we have, we're not a private club, we do have to use the distributors that they tell us to. So
they will deliver. Yes. They will deliver right there, so there's not a problem with delivery.
Correct.
All right, that's good. Sounds good. I know that Bloody Marys are good.
Thank you. With our liquor license, and it's something that is going to have to be enforced, we cannot have outside beverages come in at all because it jeopardizes our license. So anything that's purchased has to be purchased from the pro shop or from the grill. No outside alcoholic beverages are allowed. And they really don't want us to have any outside beverages come in because you can't control what people put in those beverages bringing in. So that is something that we have to watch. If people want to bring in and get ice and water, and I really think that that's something that we need to look at as far as budgeting for next year, we need a water fountain that has pressure and also has the little fill-up deal for your water bottle.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's something that we're going to start enforcing because we don't want to lose the license that we just got.
Misty, do you need additional signage?
Yes.
I was just thinking about our liquor license just covers the perimeter of the building, right?
So that's something that we have questions
about. I think that's correct.
Because in Arkansas is a little bit different. So, and I cannot tell you because our beer license is an on-premise, which is exactly opposite of what you think it would be, because they can consume it on-premise or they can take it off-premise. But the liquor license, the way that it's worded, is the mixed drink maximum, is what it's called on the license. And so we are following up with that because I don't know if that means you can take it out on the course or if it's just within the walls of the building. And our license does include the ballroom downstairs, the rooms downstairs, anywhere in our building.
And that includes the patio, right?
And the patio.
Yes, absolutely. The decks, the patio.
Okay.
All of that was included, and we submitted that when we, because you have to submit your footprint in order to go on file and have it approved.
So if we don't have somewhere where people can get water somewhere, you have to either get it on the course. like on Tuesday when you're closed, there's usually a pretty good crowd up there. They're going to have to figure out something.
Yes. Well, I mean, and downstairs, they do have the capability
but
to
the
do
people
it.
That come in, they just bring their cards upstairs, drop the cards off upstairs. That's the way they do it.
Oh, you mean outside?
They don't go downstairs. They go upstairs at the table. That's where Randy picks the cards up.
Oh, gotcha.
So usually people won't walk all the way down there because most of them unloaded their club, turned in their car, and that sort of stuff.
I will tell you that we are looking at making some changes, and so we will probably open back up on Tuesdays starting in October. So it may not be until 5 o'clock. But with having the liquor license,
good.
Having the bar, it may be a limited menu. I'm exploring it just for the fact that I don't really have the employees to do it. So, but we will probably go ahead and open back up on Tuesdays.
Good. But I think that you discussed, Rich, that our liquor license covered not the golf course, it covered the perimeter of the building.
Yes, the liquor license is the footprint of the building with the patio. The beer license, which we kept, is so that you can take beer out on the course.
But
you still
you can take beer on the course.
It still has to be purchased within the grill or
you know,
downstairs.
There's people that live right there. What happened there?
No, I don't know. Electric truck.
There's people that live on the course, and you're never going to stop all that. I don't care what you do. They're going to go buy their house and if they want a beer or whatever. I don't drink when I'm playing golf.
Yeah, we can't police the course. That's why we're getting it out to the public, so that way everybody can help us police it.
But you cannot bring it onto the patio. You cannot bring
I understand that. But I mean, the people that go out on the course, I mean, I don't think you can ever, you know, too many people live right on the golf course. All they do is walk up to their porch. And most of them I've seen guys have coolers.
Yep, and we can only fix what we can prevent. I mean,
but we don't even know if the liquor license would, you know that the beer license is going to allow us to sell beer and take it on the course. So that's one good thing that they could do. I guess we were told earlier that they could take it out on the course.
Right, and since then I have looked into it because that was information that was provided that was not accurate. We had been talking with
you. Well, I know a lot of people asked him about it, and I said, well, I don't know. You're going to have to go ask the manager of what the new rules are. So
yes.
I think that changed when we got the liquor license.
Place
so
liquor by the
fine.
Drink changes.
Liquor by the drink is, we kept the beer license, so that way we can go ahead and you can purchase takeoff property.
Good.
So the liquor license at this point, what we're operating by is understanding that it's within our footprint.
Property line, right, which is, might say, the perimeter of the clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's good.
Any other discussion as far as the liquor license? I'd like to bring up the question, have we got any more bids on the signs?
No, just that one. I reached out to Bill Friday, and he is going to give me a price on a smaller sign. So he said he's going to try and get that to me this week. So I had him downsize the sign to like 3.5 by 8 or something like that.
Misty?
I would like to clarify some misinformation that has been going out because it has been, I guess, after our discussion about the sign, and we did focus on the restaurant. The sign is not for just the restaurant. The sign in the past, when it was working, it had different events throughout the community, things that were going on at the golf course, in addition to the grill. The sign is for the community, not just the grill.
I agree, and I saw that written on social media about the restaurant. But it's also available when the fire department wants to post a burn ban. We can put it on that sign. We can also post when there's a tornado warning in the area, post it on the sign. There's a lot of things that sign will benefit the community other than just the restaurant. It would also advertise the most recent golf tournament that was put up with a canvas banner because we don't have a sign. So it is not just for the restaurant. It will also be a benefit to the community as far as public service and public announcements. When the chief knows there's a problem coming up with an ice storm or snow or whatever, it can be posted on that sign. So it's not just about the restaurant. Any other discussion as far as the sign today?
One good thing about that is people will know where it is. And like now, people stop a lot of times when they're sitting out there and want to know where the restaurant is. They think it's just a clubhouse, golf clubhouse, because that's what, you know, that's, you used to be, the pro shop was upstairs. And we always say, no, the pro shop downstairs, the restaurant is right here. So that helps, so the sign will definitely help. And also, it will help to determine when they're closed, when they're not. You know, they can post the hours, closed at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 5 o'clock, whatever time that may be. At least they can put that on the sign and say, hey, yeah, we're closed that day, or open, or due to some circumstance, we're closed today. I think it'll help a lot.
You know my stance, so I'm sorry.
I know your stance. A matter of, we're discussing strictly a sign about the clubhouse.
And I appreciate
kind of that run off the rails.
And I appreciate the comment, because I talked to Misty specifically about that, and I'm thank you for bringing that up, because I wanted to set the record straight. Because the way it was being sounded, in my interpretation, it seemed like this was just a restaurant sign, because we're putting it right outside the restaurant for the golf course. So I talked to Misty on that and said, this is my interpretation, and she said, no, that's not what she said. No, we've done it with, you know, on the digital sign that we had, they have been using it for other things. I don't ever see anything, you know, but again, it's all about the cost for me. It's about the cost for me.
There were always different things that were put on the sign. So I know events at the barn, events, different places, you know, it's for the community.
It's not like we're posting a menu for the restaurant out there. It's all community events can be posted on that sign. And my particular issue is things that are a matter of public safety. That the fire department or the sheriff's department, if they're looking for somebody, if they got a lost kid, whatever, it can all be posted on that sign. And that's what makes that sign very versatile, is it can be used for everything.
I did some research, and I talked to Misty about this as well. I haven't talked to Rich yet or anybody else, so in keeping with this and trying to find other solutions, I'd like us to try and look at potentially using a digital TV, an 85-inch digital TV. They have those with weather-encompassing boxes. And maybe this is thinking outside the box, but if there's a way, you have these smart TVs, a high resolution for maybe $2,500 and a $1,600 locked enclosure, maybe we can get two of those back-to-back and be able to get the same intent versus $40,000.
Can you read that going 25 miles?
I don't know. And what I was recommending is we don't have we don't have anything currently out in the patio for signage. So I was thinking maybe we do you spend a little bit of money, you get a nice big sign under the patio, maybe on that back wall where they do, you know, post stuff. Use that as a test platform, because again, I looked at it's the 80 to 85 inch TV. Weatherproof enclosure, which is lockable, and they, you know, that's from Amazon. So I'm doing
what is that going to cost?
Like $1,600.
No, it isn't for an enclosure.
I'm just going to go with Amazon, and you can Google it yourself. But it's $1,600 on Amazon. Great reviews, weatherproof, and I'm just thinking outside the box. You put that up there. We could test it if we bought it for the patio. We could test it to say, hey, now this is a giant. Diet's out there, it's Wi-Fi enabled. Maybe we could then have PowerPoint scrolling through whatever ads you want on it. So I'm just trying to get the cost down, because $40,000 just seems a lot. You want the intent to be able to post digital, is what you're trying to do.
How many years ago was the old sign in?
Oh my God.
Do Do you remember? David, I questioned about 85-inch TV.
That would cost $15,000.
So it's not going to be any cheaper, guys. Is it readable? And that's what impressed me about the sign that they brought was, it was a bright sunny day, and this sign is still very bright.
So again, I'm still in the research part, but the TV that I look like, you can get an 85-inch Walmart TV for $600. That's not what you're looking for. But they have an exterior TV. They said like 3,000 lumens, for instance. That was $2,800. So what I'm saying is, there are exterior high lumen digital signs that
TVs
that could possibly, maybe if we didn't have it horizontal or perpendicular to the road where we have to have two signs each way, if we did one, 85 inch in a different location than I hate to say the static sign.
You won't be able to see it when you're driving by.
Either way, I'm just trying to think outside the box. So if we're just looking, I'm just trying to throw another option out there, maybe. And that's all.
I'm just trying to think of where you would put, like you could actually put it on the side of the walk-in freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an eyesore anyway.
That's what I was going to say, cover up that eyesore.
So, just something. I'm just trying to get the other options.
I guess what I'm questioning is its legibility on bright sunny days. That's all.
And I don't believe it.
Because most LED TVs get washed out in the summer. That's all.
You can't even see it. It's like your phone. You can't see it.
That can't be over it. Be better than enclosure, because enclosure you shut the windows and get glare off them too. So.
Any other commissioner comments? Any public comments? Ken Mills.
Ken Mills, 20 Rocky Top Circle. And I kind of looked at that thing that Butch Phillips handed out. It looks like a whole bunch of FOIs. What are they trying to do?
I will present this to Matt and let him look it over, but most of the stuff that he was asking for is stuff that we let Matt deal with, so we're going to let the lawyers work it out.
I don't see how that legal.
That's why we're going to ask on Matt.
Okay.
So well, as a commission, what's under litigation, we pay an attorney, maybe our mouthpiece. We don't comment on anything about this ongoing litigation.
Well, we had the same discussion at the city council. We can't figure out where we're at. I guess, what are we waiting on? For them to refile?
We'll let the lawyers deal with it. We'll let the lawyers deal with it.
What I got to worry about?
What?
He's tired of worrying about it. Don't you have to worry about being
cuffed? Do we have some agenda scheduling we need to do as far as the meeting on either the 18th or the 25th, I guess, but let's leave those open for the time being.
Yep, I got rent down so we can.
And we have our work session scheduled up for
20th.
October 20th.
Are we going to have, would you get this another bid this afternoon? Is that what you said?
For
the sign?
This week. I will get another bid this
week.
Get
that, I think we have a special meeting. We can't be waiting around another month to jack around with this sign.
As soon as I get the bid, I'll email it out to you, and then we can decide what you want to do.
Right. Because we need to get this sign up.
I think as far as agenda specifically, we also have to have a meeting for nominations for new board members. Isn't that on the 16th?
That's on the 20th, the evening after our...
Oh, you're right. It's on the 20th.
Yep.
On the evening of the 20th.
6 p.m.
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was the middle of the week.
No, it's Monday. 6 p.m.
That will just be a short meeting, but we'll have a regular work session at 9 o'clock.
In the morning. Then we'll come back at 6 for the nominations.
Right. Okay, if there's no other scheduling to do.
10:27 regular meeting.
I'm sorry?
27th for the regular meeting then, too?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure we get that on record.
Motion to make an adjournment. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
I move in second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.